From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Lost Connections. We're going to talk about anxieties, depressions, and you. Here's what's happening. Ex-U.S. Olympic gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar has been sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison after testimony from nearly 160 of his victims. The judge dismissed Nassar's attempted apology as insincere, saying he would be in darkness the rest of his life. Nassar pleaded guilty to 10 counts of sexual assault against girls and young women, including Olympians. The 54-year-old had already been sentenced to 60 years for possession of child pornography. And the head of Michigan State University has resigned because of this situation as well. A poll conducted at the end of President Trump's first year in the White House finds more voters rate the economy positively today than they have in nearly two decades. And they give the White House credit for that. Nearly twice as many as the Trump administration has made the economy better than made it worse, 40% versus 22%. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump said he would be willing to be interviewed under oath by special counsel Robert Mueller, who is investigating Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. election, if his attorneys agree, he said. North Korea sent a very rare announcement addressed to all Koreans at home and abroad, saying that they should make a breakthrough for unification without the help of other countries. What's all this mean? Put it in perspective. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. John, give us your roundtable on that.
Well, look, you know, the economy is doing much better. This tax bill that they, you know, got through Congress is just, I mean, having sweeping effects in on Wall Street and in corporate America. I mean, you hear Jamie Dimon come out saying he's raising salaries, they're hiring more people. I mean, these are good economic times right now. And the Democrats are having a little bit of a problem now, attributing all of these, you know, the good things that are happening to President Obama's economy. Now, at the same time, Trump, you know, goes to Europe at Davos as a rather unpopular guy, pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, ranting, railing against the Iran nuke deal. And yet he has a lot of clout with regard to the way the U.S. economy is functioning right now, which, you know, the rising tides pull up all the boats, and that's what happens when the world's biggest economy improves and becomes a mighty engine again. It really helps all international business. So I think that, you know, the Mueller investigation is getting extremely dicey right now. I mean, the idea of him testifying when there's a pretty dark cloud right now over the FBI and over the Justice Department in the Obama years, where there's clear indications right now that Trump's initial statement that he was wiretapped, that was refuted by the media, it's turning out that they did use the FISA court to wiretap and to get warrants on Trump administration officials during the campaign. So I think the idea that he's just going to go in and testify, extremely unlikely, George.
I agree. At this point. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. Now, first, there was Neil Diamond, who has announced this week his retirement. And then now? Elton John is quitting touring after nearly 50 years. The 70-year-old star is calling time on the road after one last world tour named Farewell Yellow Brick Road, and he said that is it. The singer, who has been dogged by ill health, confirmed his goodbye tour in a live stream press conference on Wednesday afternoon. Great artist that he is. Another North Texas family is speaking out about what they believe are side effects from a very popular flu treatment. A Rockwell County family said their nearly two-year-old son was twitching, hallucinating, and slamming his head in pain after taking Tamiflu this month. The odd reactions only stopped, they said, when they stopped giving him prescribed doses of the drug. Swearing makes you happier, healthier, more intelligent, and honest, according to new research. The experts claim using offensive language shows someone has a larger vocabulary and could be linked with a higher IQ. Our resident psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin, with us. Peter, who comes up with these surveys?
Well, that's a hard part of studies that go back to 10 or 15 years. I have no idea why this is even being promoted right now. I struggled over how to capture what's the matter with this whole idea of the swearing being good.
Yeah, really?
And my wife, Ginger, just captured the whole problem for me when I talked to her about it. She said, first of all, when people swear, it means they're angry or at least frustrated. And when people swear, it means they're on the verge of losing control most of the time. And it's, in fact, a kind of thing you don't want to start publicizing as positive in the press. Guys who are listening to this, people in power who are listening to this, parents who are listening to this, you don't swear at your spouse. You don't swear at your children. You don't swear at your employees. You don't swear at anybody that you have power over, because it's a threatening thing to do.
It's the most screwed up survey, Peter, I've ever seen.
I think it is. It is a bunch of very screwed up research. And they get very mixed up about things in it. For example, the whole idea of happiness, one of the big reasons they say it makes people happier is because you can endure more pain while you're swearing. And how can you endure? How do they know this? Because they had people put their hands in ice water and swear, and they could hold them longer. This is stupid.
It's crazy. Dr. Peter Breggin's website, Breggin, BREGGIN.com. Thanks, Peter. Story in the news at coasttocoastam.com. An animal services team in Florida is pleading with pet owners after a dog suffered burns, eye swelling, and nearly died after being colored purple with human hair dye. Don't do it, folks. Up next, what's the elites doing? Lindsay Williams back on Coast to Coast after about a 5-year hiatus. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Lindsay Williams has been a Baptist minister for about 50-plus years, 55 as a matter of fact. He has been invited to be the chaplain to the elite for the world for 3 years during the construction of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And because of his position as a chaplain, he was offered executive status with a pipeline service company in an advisory capacity and sat in board meetings with the elite. Here he is, Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, welcome back.
George, what a privilege it is to be back on Coast to Coast, and thank you for allowing me to be a guest tonight.
I'm looking forward to this. You've got a new DVD out. We're going to talk about that. I promise to tell you that's the name of it. But tell me about the elite. What's their bottom line here, Lindsay? What do they want?
Well, let me begin, if I may. You gave an excellent introduction there, but so the audience will understand why I can say some of the things I'm going to say tonight, which will be very startling in relation to what's happening in 2018. Just allow me for a moment to go back.
All right.
I had the privilege, by the providence of God, of being invited to be the chaplain to the elite of the world. And for 3 years' time, during the construction phase of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, I sat with, lived with, rubbed shoulders with the people that you only hear about but never really get to know. I sat in their board meetings. I sat across the dinner table from them. I heard them talk about controlling nations and people and manipulating currencies. And may I say as emphatically as I possibly can to the audience tonight, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. I'll never forget one day I was with Mr. Ken Fromm. He was the senior executive with Atlantic Richfield, who produced the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field. And as we rode along in his vehicle, we passed a group of, it was either Greenpeace or Sierra Club, I'm not quite sure which. And they were going over some artifacts. And I looked over at Ken, and I said, Ken, don't these people bother you? They are costing you millions of dollars of extra money to build this pipeline. I'll never forget his response. He smiled, looked at me, and he said, Chaplain, you know, we give millions of dollars every year to Greenpeace, millions of dollars every year to Sierra Club. He said, they don't do anything unless we want them to.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but look what they're costing you. He said, no, not really. because he said it's good for them to be here, so people think that we want to save the environment, which of course he said we do. But he said it's the same way with the Republicans or the Democrats. He said we give millions of dollars to the Republican Party, millions of dollars to the Democratic Party. He said we don't care which president gets in. It matters not. We still get what we want. And he said the congressman, he said nearly every congressman up there has a price. And he said, we know the price of most of them. Now, I had been a pastor for 12 years prior to this. Okay. I was brought up in a wonderful Christian home. Can you imagine my dismay when I heard people talking about controlling nations and currencies and people? I literally was dumbfounded. I remember one day, I'd been with them all day long, and I went back to my dorm room that night at Prudhoe Bay. I lay down on the bed, looked up at the ceiling, and I literally cried out to God, and I said, oh, Lord, how can there be such dastardly people on the face of this earth who, by intent, would control people and nations? That was 39 years ago. And over these 39 years, I've had the privilege of keeping in touch with two of those individuals. They will give me information from time to time. And every time they do, I dare to publish it. I dare to tell the world what's going on. And because of that, some people have said, you're a prophet. And I say, no, I'm not. It just so happens that by the providence of God, I know the right people. Well, when it came time for the election, George, this is when it really started. I was utterly amazed because the election in 2016 and then, of course, the inauguration in 2017, my elite friend had told me prior to that, he said, we know who's going to be president. He said, there's no possibility in this world that Donald Trump will ever be the president of the United States of America.
No possibility.
Said, no possibility. He said, it can't happen. And he said, George Soros even built the voting machines. He said, Chaplain, it will never happen. Only a few hours after Donald Trump had accepted the fact that he had won, I received an email from my elite friend. I'll never forget it. I put it in the archives of my computer. He said just two words. He said, God intervened. The New World Order was actually set back about 20 to 25 years.
Do you believe that? That God intervened?
Oh, positively. Now, the elite don't disregard God. They don't want to encounter him. But on the other hand, they don't discount the fact that he exists. And my elite friend actually said, now this is, he's in his 70s now, and once you become a part of the elite, you never get away from it because you know too much.
Like the mob. Once you're in, you're in, huh?
You're in, you never get out, you know too much. And he said God intervened. They admitted the fact that the New World Order had been set back. Now, from this point on, things really began to happen. For a number of weeks, I could not even get in touch with my elite friend. I tried by email. I tried every way possible. He would not even talk to me for a number of weeks. And finally, a few weeks later, he came out and let me know what had happened. The elite actually had to change their agenda. They set a new agenda because of the election of Donald Trump, and there was not going to be any financial crash now. You remember the newsletters back in those days, and I remember them so well. I even talked about it myself because they had told me if a certain person gets in as president, within 4 to 5 months afterwards, we will have a major financial crisis because we want to begin to bring in the New World Order in a massive way. But when Donald Trump was elected, they had to set a new agenda. There was going to be no financial crisis. And when I heard the following, I was literally dumbfounded. He said to me, he said, Chaplain, we know that we cannot have a financial crash under Donald Trump because we have too much to lose. He said Donald Trump would not initiate a quantitative easing as George Bush did. And he said, as a result, we don't dare have a financial crash under George Bush. I mean, under Donald Trump. This, to me, was music to my ears. And at that point, I dared to tell in a DVD, which I entitled Panic Up, which was produced about 8 or 9 months ago, and I dared to tell exactly what was going to happen for the next 3, maybe 7 years in the economy.
Did they decide to kind of push things aside and wait for 8 years before they do what they're going to do?
Yes, they did. In fact, they have everything planned. Since then, I have received an update agenda just recently, and they definitely have set everything aside for that. You do not have to worry anything about a financial collapse at this point. There is not going to be a financial crash, which they would have had planned. Instead, there is going to be a panic up, is what I like to call it. The stock market is going to climb like it's never climbed before. I have in front of me the report of last Friday for the Dow Jones, 26,071. You haven't seen anything yet. The Dow Jones, according to my elite friend, is going to go to 30, possibly even 40,000 before it stops.
That's huge.
Because now the elite have decided to make their fortunes also in the stock market. In fact, they even told me after they described the panic up, which as I described it, they even told me who they were going to use as investors in order to cause Wall Street to panic up and bring about the prosperous times that we were going to see for the next 4 to 7 years or 8 years. I was so stuck. I literally was embarrassed to produce my DVD because it disagreed with every newsletter out there, every financial.
Everybody said the crash is coming. Some people still say, Lindsay, the crash is coming. And, you know, your thoughts are contrary and enlightening. Is it a good thing that we're not going to have a crash? I assume so.
Marvelous. You know, I'm 82 years of age, and I've decided to kind of slow down and enjoy life.
You will never slow down. You know that.
No, not really. But I'm fully convinced that I'm going to live until Jesus Christ returns, so I've slowed down a little bit. And I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. So to me, it's very encouraging to know that probably during the next 7 years, they've convinced that he will win the next election, and the stock market is going to go up. I wish I could speak to every senior citizen out there. So many of them need to increase their pensions and their financial plans and the condition.
I think they're scared, Lindsay.
These are going to be wonderful times. And I have so many of my friends out there who write these newsletters. As you know, my website, lindsaywilliams.net, I've told these things for years, what was going to happen. And so whenever I say all of this, I look at my friends and they almost don't want to talk to me anymore because I said that it's going to be good times. The stock market's going up, prosperous, gold. There'll be very little change in gold because there's no reason for it to go up. The American dollar. I stated in my DVD back 8 or 9 months ago that the American dollar will remain the reserve currency of the world. Mark my words. I'm saying exactly what the elite have told me. They say it will remain the petrodollar, and in just a few moments when I describe why, you'll understand why things are not going to change with the American dollar. I also predicted 8 months ago that we were going to have less riots. And everybody laughed at me at the time. Have you noticed how the riots have quietened down? It is not to the advantage of the elite now to have riots. And then I even predicted what was going to happen with the cryptocurrencies.
George Soros funded riots in Missouri.
Yes.
He did that.
Things are happening so different than what was anticipated prior to the election. Prior to the election, they were saying, oh, the stock market will really take a major drop if Donald Trump wins.
Lindsay, hold on. We're gonna take a break, but we're gonna come back and we'll talk more about your work. We'll get into your new DVD called I Promise to Tell You as well. But lots more to talk about because you're right. The elitists, they do have a plan. And let's talk about that agenda more when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you along with Chaplain Lindsey Williams as we are talking about the agenda for 2018 and beyond. So they've decided, Lindsey, for the next 7 years at least to keep things going great for us?
You know, the reason, I guess, George, I am so excited about being on Coast to Coast tonight is because it gives me an opportunity to let so many millions of people know that they've got a whole different future out there than what they thought they had. And they can look forward to something that is different. I think we all, well, let's put it this way. My webmaster said to me the other day, he said, Chaplain, don't you know that DVDs don't sell on Good News? And I said, it matters not. I have to tell the truth regardless. And so as a result, it's so nice to be able to know the people who are doing this. You know, nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by design plan.
I agree with that.
There's no way that anything takes place in government, in finances, on Wall Street, any place else. And when my elite friend told me what they were going to do under the new agenda, and when he said Wall Street, Dow Jones, stock market is going up, I chose the words myself, panic up. Because when I found out what they were going to do and why they were doing it, the elite have to make money also under Donald Trump. And the only way in the world they can do it is to manipulate certain things. And when my elite friend said, Chaplain, we are going to use foreign banks, foreign countries, and even the Federal Reserve to begin investing in the stock market, and we are going to take it through the roof. And I said, well, how high are you going to go with it? He said, 30, 40,000. He said, we may even get it to 50,000 before it panics down. Now, the only difference between them and us, George, is the fact that they know when they're going to let it panic down. And, you and I don't.
And they'll make money on it coming down too, won't they?
They make money both ways because they know when it's happening.
Yeah.
They know when to sell. It's like a friend of mine who is very heavily involved in the, I like to call it thin air currencies. And there again, the elite are involved in this. They take it up and they bring it down. And he asked me, he said, Chaplain, from what you're saying then, all of these new currencies out here that are just, you know, my elite friend said years ago, he said, if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And so I said to this friend of mine, I said, this is not even a piece of paper. It's not even a Federal Reserve note. This is literally thin air. And he said, well, I'm making a fortune out of it. And I said, you will if you know when to get in, but the elite know when to get out. And I said, I hope that my elite friend will tell me when it's time to get out so I can tell my friends. I personally am not involved in them in any way whatsoever, but I'm not in the stock market either. I've just chosen to go other directions. Nothing wrong with those who do. But the elite will know when to get in. They'll know when to get out. They know where to make their money. They control it all, and none of it happens by chance. And every person out there needs to realize that the elite know exactly what they're doing. I have had such a privilege over these 39 years of being able to quote the elite. And sometimes people will say, well, you said this, that, and the other. I said, no, I can't take any credit for that because I was nothing but a little Baptist preacher that happened by the providence of God to be in the right place at the right time and made friends with two of these individuals who have been willing to tell me this information over the years. And as a result, I give it out every time I can, whether it be on my website or whether it be through DVDs. So let me come down to where the elite are planning to make their money now.
Okay.
And this is going to be very startling. I would never have known this had I not been told it personally. I remember the day that Ken Fromm, he was a senior executive with Langridge Field who produced the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field, and then wrote the chapter in my book, Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind. Ken Fromm one night after the worship service he had attended, and he stayed around after everybody had gone, and he said to me, "Chaplain, do you know the real story of oil?" And I said, "No, Ken, but I'd love to hear it from somebody who knows exactly what they're talking about." He began and told me how that the first oil was struck back on March the 3rd of 1938 in Saudi Arabia. And he said that was a California Arabian Standard Oil that did it. And he said after that, they realized that there was oil all over the Middle East. And the American oil companies begin to go in and say, "We will drill for your oil. The elite will finance that drilling for your oil." And one by one, American oil companies went into the different Middle East countries and brought in their oil field. Ken Fromm himself personally, prior to going to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline as senior executive, went to Dubai and spent a number of years there bringing in the Dubai oil field. Each company, one might have been Texaco, another might have been Arco, another might have been Exxon, and each of them were different oil companies that brought in different countries in the Middle East and were financed by the elite. At this point, the American oil companies in the 50s and 60s did this, and the elite financed them, but in the 70s, 73 through 77, during the administration of Nixon and Ford, there was a gentleman by the name of Kissinger. And Mr. Kissinger went to the Middle East, and to hear Ken Fromm tell this story, I just sat there almost with goose pimples. And he said, Nixon went to the Middle East and said to the oil companies, especially to Saudi Arabia, he said, "America debt is growing astronomically, and we need to do something about it. We will buy your oil if you will buy our debt." And a number of Middle East oil companies, countries agreed to this. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, we'll buy your T-bills, we'll buy your securities. And in turn, the American debt was paid for by those countries that bought our securities. I mean, America would have been in trouble. We would have been in terrible problems.
And it's interesting that the doors to China opened up, Lindsay, during Richard Nixon's administration, and now they own our debt.
Yes. And so they had to have someone to buy the debt, and the Arab countries they kept their word, and they began to buy our debt. Now let's come down to where we are right now. Today, the elite don't need the Arabs anymore, and the Arabs don't need the elite anymore. Now, the next few statements here, that are so startling in relation to where the elite are going right now to make their fortune. And you'll recognize this very quickly whenever I talk about the executive order that President Donald Trump signed just recently. Now, the Arabs are rich, and they don't borrow any money from the elite. Their oil fields, they're independent and don't need anybody. So the Arabs don't need the elite. The elite don't need the Arabs. Where are the elite going to go to make their fortune now that they can no longer make it in the Middle East? I want everyone, and George, I put this, I don't know how, let me just say to everyone out there, you need to go on the web and look up, if you will, retired General Wesley Clark.
Okay.
It is one of the most revealing things. In fact, my elite friend called me one day, and he said, "Chaplain, if you want to know what's going to happen in the Middle East, go to YouTube and look up retired General Wesley Clark and hear his 2-minute and 15-second interview on what he saw, and you'll understand why. For everything that's happening in the Middle East. Now, keep in mind that the Arabs don't need the elite don't need the Arabs, the elite not making any money off of the Arabs anymore, and so one by one, they are destroying the Middle East. And Wesley Clark walked into the Pentagon one day. He, of course, at one time was the head of NATO, very prominent individual. And after he retired, he walked into the Pentagon one day and he said, "How are things going?" And the individual looked at him and said, "This is so strange." But he said, "We just have a memo that 7 countries are going to be taken out in 5 years.
Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran."
And Wesley Clark actually named the nations. I got back with my elite friend and I said, "Wait a minute. Please tell me just what is happening here." He said, "All right, we built the oil fields. No longer do they need us, and we don't need them." He said, "As a result, we've got to destroy them so we can supply oil from some other source." I was dumbfounded.
Interesting that Saudi Arabia and Kuwait weren't on the list.
That's right, but there's a reason why. And when I got back with my elite friend, he said, "The last nation that is going to be taken out," that was the exact expression that Wesley Clark used. He said, "The last nation that's going to be taken out is Saudi Arabia." I have been watching Saudi Arabia for the last year or two. Saudi Arabia's oil fields are running out of oil now. Not only are they running out, but their economy has had to make a drastic change since King Saud died. And now Saudi Arabia, mark my words, according to what my elite has told me, Saudi Arabia is going to see mass internal problems. Saudi Arabia basically is going to have the same thing happen to it that has happened to the other countries. There was one country that set the elite back about a year and a half to 2 years in carrying out their plans of taking out these nations, and that was Syria. Russia joined up with
Bashar,
the Syrians.
Assad.
As a result, it set the elite back, and they didn't quite get things done quite as fast as they thought they would in 5 years' time. But now, of course, that has somewhat changed. And watch Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is going to see civil unrest. They're going to have major problems. They'll be taken out just like the others have.
Interesting.
Now, the answer: where are the elite going to make their fortunes now? And folks, please, I beg of you younger people. I mentioned a moment ago to George, I'm 82 years of age as of January the 12th. I wish I was out there as a young man in my 30s and 40s. I'd know exactly where to go and make my fortune if I understood all of this, which, of course, back in those days, I didn't. And now, where are the elite going to go? America. Mark my words. By 2020, America will be the leading oil-producing country of the world. The Middle East countries, one after the other, are going to be taken out, as retired General Wesley Clark said they would. Our President Trump, he is not one of them. My elite friend told me positively the other day, he said Trump is not one of us. But he said he's falling into our hands in some ways.
Interesting.
There was something that the elite wanted and didn't get under our previous president. They wanted that pipeline across America and across Canada. They wanted to produce ANWR. And Donald Trump signed the executive order the other day opening up offshore drilling and the ANWR, which is the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. Ken Fromm said to me one day, he said, "Chaplain, there is enough crude oil and natural gas on the North Slope of Alaska, including the present Prudhoe Bay oil field and ANWR." He said, "There's enough natural gas and crude oil there to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years.
Jeez.
At our projected rate of increased consumption, if we did not get oil from any other source in the world." He actually was speaking way in advance, because now the Middle East oil companies are being countries are being taken out. Trump has signed the agreement to allow them to go into ANWR. You are going to see one, maybe two oil pipelines built across Canada coming into America with American oil from our Arctic Wildlife Refuge. You're going to see Gull Island. The only place you'll find it is in my book, Energy Non-Crisis. And I've been waiting 38 years to see it come to pass.
And here it comes.
And they're going to open up Gull Island, bring the largest oil pool ever discovered on the face of the earth online, and America is going to see a boom in oil and prosperity, that, and we'll be totally independent. Prices on gasoline, I do not expect them to come down, because they'll find some way to keep them up where they are. They have them where they want them right now. But it is going to be the multi-billion dollar money maker for the elite who will finance all of this because of what has happened.
They must be jumping for joy now, Lindsay.
They are so excited. They don't know what to do, even though Donald Trump is not one of them. He has no part with them. He's draining the swamp every time he can. He's causing them, he's causing them thorough embarrassment.
But it fills right back up again, doesn't it? The swamp fills right back up.
They try to fill it back up, but he's doing such a marvelous job of draining it. I'm not quite so sure that they're going to be able to accomplish what they want. But the glorious part is, look what this is doing for the economy of America. The elite have to find other ways to make their money, because they can't do it with the method that they had originally planned before Donald Trump won the election. The elite are making a fortune off the stock market.
Are they reluctantly doing all this?
Yes, but they have no other way to make their fortune.
Now, what happens in 7 years, 8 years with a new administration, assuming President Trump wins and he gets his next four, but what happens in 8 years from now?
Just a few weeks ago, I received the something that they call an update. And when I got it, I didn't like it. I wished I had never had to see it. And that was one of the reasons that I produced just last week a new DVD telling everything the elite are going to do, how they're going to do it, why they're doing it, and every detail about how they operate undercover and so on. Because whenever Donald Trump is no longer in office, now, I hope, I'm just saying this because of the economy. I'm not taking sides here either way, but I hope he's in there for seven more years.
Stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment, Lindsay, and take some phone calls and continue talking about, I promise to tell you exactly what that is.